Sit down, folks. I'm glad we got so many kids here. It's a blessing to see them. I can remember when my girls used to be that age. And now they've got their own going to those classes. Thank you all for last Sunday. I showed a couple, Brother Dick. Thank you for reminding God and what He wanted. Because my message was on thanks is what I had to title, thanks. Thank God for all the little things. And I think last Sunday I heard everything from life to salvation. And it wasn't it beautiful just to have, hear everything that everybody thanked God for. Boy, I've heard people speak out. I was thanking Brother Sam earlier this evening for speaking up this morning like he did. And because I remember him telling me, you know, privately, he said, boy, I can't speak in front of anybody. And I didn't get everything out that I wanted. But guess what? It'll come, Brother Sam. It'll come, and it is a joy to hear somebody speak out. Him and Brother Terry had the same thing. I thank you for speaking out and listening to God and doing what He asked for. Thank Brother Tim. He, a couple Wednesdays ago, he got up and preached to us. And I thought, I told Garrett, I said, now I know what I look like when I'm scared to death up here. So I enjoyed it. But I'm going to tell you what, it takes a lot to get up in front of somebody, to step out from what you're used to. I enjoy listening to Janet and her mom sing up here. I can pick him out, and I do listen. I love when you guys get up here and sing. You got your grandkids with you? It's a blessing to hear you. I'm going to go a little bit slower tonight since we started an hour earlier. That gives me more time because I've got to where I'll write these notes out. I'll get this message, got it all aimed out. Then I'll miss about half of it because I get to going and I don't want, I'm going to try to slow down and do it what He's given to me. The message for this evening is keep your eye on the prize. What's the first thing you taught them little kids when they started playing ball? What's the first thing you taught them to throw the ball or to hit the ball? Keep your eye on the ball. Everybody, Brother Danny's done that. I've had to do that. We've got a lot of young converts in here. And I think a lot of times the world, as we get back into routine, we start seeing things on the side that starts distracting us. And it's, I'll show you a couple things in the Bible here. It's happened to everybody. So you're not being singled out. All right? The thing is, we know where the prize is at. Keep your eye on the ball. Keep your eye on the prize. Keep striving to what God has set for us. We've already, if you knew every ball game you was going into that you was going to win, wouldn't it be great? We know what we're going to win if we just stay where we're at. If we stay after the ball, keep your eye on the ball, keep your eye on the prize. Let's go to Matthew 14, 22. When the things come, things of the world come to us, they come to the sinner or saint the same. The thing is, though, do you want to face these problems with God or without God? It's a whole lot better to face with somebody that you can go to, that you can pray to, that'll listen to you. I know a lot of times, and I'm guilty of it, football game on, my wife will come in and talk to me. Guess what? And I don't hear a thing she says. We don't got to worry about that. God's listening to us every time we call on Him. And we need to remember that and to use that. 14 and 22. This is right after Jesus fed the 5,000. And everybody knows the story. He was sending them across the water so he could go pray. And we'll start at 22. Then straightway Jesus constrained the disciples to get into the ship and go before him unto the other side while he sent the multitudes away. And when he had sent the multitudes away, he went up into the mountains apart to pray. And then the evening was come, he was there alone. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with the waves, and the wind was contrary. And in the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking under the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit," and they cried out in fear. But straightway Jesus spoke to them, "Be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, bid me to come unto thee on the water." And he said, "Come." And when Peter had come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then when he saw the wind boisterous, he was afraid and began to sink. He cried, saying, "Lord, save me." And immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and caught him and said unto him, "O thou of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt?" There's a lot in that. I looked up the word constraint, and it means right there in 22, it says to compel. He asked them what to do. He instructed them to go. So they should have known that if he told them to go some and do something, guess what? He was going to meet them. He ain't going to send you on a mission and not show up or do what he says he's going to do. And a lot of times, hey, like getting up here and preach, I know I'm not good at it. I'm doing the best I can. The Lord's helping me all I can. If you get up and testify, I mean, you're going to be nervous. I'm nervous every time I get up here. But if he's putting it on your heart to get up and testify, do it. You're not doing it to glorify anybody else yourself. You're doing it because he's asked you to.
Yeah, that's right.
And he'll help you through it if you'll do exactly what he says. We laugh at Peter, I believe. A lot of times we think, oh boy, where's his faith at? How many of us has been willing to step out of that ship? He asked the Lord for something. Guess what? And the Lord gave him what he asked him to do. Walk on the water. How often are we going to ask him to do something? Then we get out there and we think, boy, what have I got myself? And you start looking around. They said boisterous water, if I remember right. The waves, the wind. That didn't calm that down when they seen Jesus coming. No, it was still raging. Guess what? Peter had faith enough to step out. And go out. Have we got the same faith to step out when he asks us to do something? If it is preaching, teaching Sunday school class, working, getting our AC going. Thank you, Brother Jerry. I appreciate it. Singing, testifying. All these things are what's needed. Brother Jeremy, you're exactly right. When we leave here, everybody's a preacher. Everybody's going out in the world. Danny and Garrett, Jeremy, they can't be where you're at all the time. So you're the one taking the message to the world, to the people you work with. I want to thank God for a couple weeks ago for you to pray for some of the guys to work with. They've got young kids, and one of them, he's got a daughter about 6 months old. And, you know, he's a good guy, don't get me wrong. But he is trying to be the best father that he can be. And I'd had to work, and I was trying to get out of there. I'd worked 12 hours. I was wanting to leave. Well, he stepped in there and started talking to me and talking about what he did over the weekend. He said, yep. He said, I plan to get in that yard mowed. He said, my wife come in and said, you're going to church with me. And she's not a Christian either, as far as I know. And I said, well, good. I said, good deal. Did you learn anything? He said, yeah. He said it was a good place to be. I said, well, what'd you do Sunday night? He said, well, I was going to mow that yard. He said, it's knee high. And this guy, if you know him, I'll give you his first name, Josh. Real good guy over around Fort Gate. And he said, I was planning on getting him mowed, but I had the little boy. He said, I couldn't mow with him, so I waited on my wife to get home. She went to see her mom. She said, just as soon as she got home, she said, get ready. said, well, where are we going? I'm going to the yard. She said, no, you're not. You're going to church with me again. So he was telling me about going to church twice. And boy, that to me, that was answer for prayer, and I opened up. And I laid it on. I said, Josh, how good of a father you want to be to that kid, to your children? I said, you want to be the best one you can? He said, well, yeah. I said, which one can you be better at? Can you be a better father being saved, being a Christian, or being in the world? And he thought just a second and said, you're right. He said, I can be a lot much better father. I can be much be a parent, a grandparent, a great-grandparent, if I'm serving God and doing what he asked me to do. Now, he ain't made a move yet, and he started avoiding me here the last couple of days. But and I sent him a message here before I come to church, letting him know what our time had changed. I don't think he'll come over here because he lives over around Fort Gate. But he said, no, I'm at work, he said, or I try to get there. So remember those people. And I know you all have the same stories. People you're wanting to, you work with that you're wanting to be saved. So just keep, you know, keep them in our hearts. Hard times come whether you're a Christian or not. I know I've already said that, but it's much easier if you've got someone to lean on than it is without. Last Monday, there was a guy that I with, hard-headed as I am, all right? We'd argue over silly little things. He didn't know the rules, and I barely did, all right? But I seen a change in him. He calmed down, and I was able to talk to him a little bit. And he passed away at the age of 60. Monday morning, had a heart attack. And to watch his family have to go through that, they just lost their mom 4 months ago. And I thought, man, the agony to have to go through that without a Savior, without somebody to lean on, someone to call out to. We are blessed to have that. And if you don't have it, you could have it this evening.
Amen.
You could have it at any time. If it's not here in the morning, but there's no time to wait because the peace that you have by knowing where somebody is at when they pass, it's everything to you. If you've gone through it, and I've gone through it like a lot of you have, and it is such a comfort to know where your family's at, your loved ones are at, where your friends are at, that you want to see. It is a blessing. Let's go to Job 2, 7 through 10. Job here is another one that had it all. He was blessed. But guess what? Hard times come. And they come more than anybody else here that has had it. Put up with it, I believe. I don't believe nobody's lost as much as he had to lose. Now, he was a rich man, but he also had the most of it to lose out of it. Let's start at number 7. So when Satan forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sores, boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown, and he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal. And he sat down among the ashes. And then his wife coming to him, dost thou retain thy integrity? Curse God and die. But then he said unto her, thou speakest one of the foolish woman speak. What shall we receive good in the hand of God? We shall not receive evil. And all that this did not Job sin with his lips. Now, I know it's his wife, but it could be a friend coming up to you saying, boy, how's that working out for you now being a Christian? And it's going to come to you, like I said before, it's going to come to you no matter who you are. Everybody's got to go through these trials. Only thing is, are you going to go through it by yourself and struggle? Or are you going to have somebody to lean on to go through it with? I looked up the word potsherd. It is, after his house had burned, he lost everything. What I found it to be was broken pottery. And I don't understand why he took it and scraped the skin, besides he was being in misery already from the bulls, if that was releasing. But you imagine taking broken pottery that you're in and scraping yourself with it. He was in agony. And he was the apple of God's eye. I mean, God put the devil up and said, hey, have you thought of my servant Job? No matter what we do, we have got to stay with God.
Amen.
I wrote down, and you can read the whole chapter. I didn't want to read all of it. I mean, I read through it, but I didn't want to try to preach all of it because I didn't figure you'd stay with me that long. He had 7 sons, 3 daughters, 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yokes of oxen, 500 female donkeys, and a very great household. And this was all wiped out from him. I don't think I'll ever have 3,000 camels. I don't think I'd need them. But what I'm trying to say is, this man had it all. And if God let the devil come in and take it from him, just prove that he was worthy. We'll never have, I don't think anybody here, will ever have all that to lose. And if he can serve God, lose his family. Look, less 7 sons and 3 daughters. Could you imagine losing all your children and still having faith in God? No wonder God said, have you thought of my servant Job? He knew his heart. He knew what he could bear. And God will never put on you any more than you can bear. Remember, and that's tough to remember sometimes when you're going through the trial. He won't put on more than you can bear if you keep your faith in him and do what he wants you to do. In verse 8, I already went over that. In chapter 7, he even wished that he was never born. So you'll get discouraged. You're going to get discouraged. You're going to think, why am I doing this? Job even asked. He had questions. Why was it? I don't think it's, if Job can do it, I'm sure I can do it. Is that fair? If Job can ask why, but he never, the thing is though, he asked why, but he never turned his head. He never turned away from God. He knew where the prize was at. He knew where that ball, he kept his eye on the ball. He knew what he was swinging for. And guess what? He got back more than he ever lost. God, he was watching for him. He was paying attention to what was going on. And he blessed him. I didn't look to see how many children he had after that, but he was blessed with what he lost and more. I remember that. When we get out here and we do something we shouldn't, the thing is, just like Peter, he took his eyes off of God. He took his eye off the ball. Guess what he done though? He cried out to Jesus. And that's all we got to do. If we make a slip and we're not perfect, we're all going to make mistakes. But the thing to do is though, remember where to go to when you need salvation. And just like back here with Peter, God reached down and got him. And he'll do the same thing for us when we make a mistake, as long as we call out to him and ask him for help. Since she ain't here, I'll tell this on her. Years ago when Jacqueline was a teenager, and don't worry, I've already mentioned this to her, and she said, if you need to, go ahead. Jacqueline was spending a night with a friend. And they snuck out. They knew some boys was, and it may have been Garrett, I don't know, I never heard, never asked. But there was a group of boys having a campfire, and they was camping out. And they snuck out to go down there. The only thing is, God was watching for my daughters before I was ever saved because I had a wife that was praying for them. the Philip Cyrus, he seen him sneak out. They never knew it. He followed him down to where he was at, stayed in the woods. You may have even heard about it. He stayed in the woods and didn't say a thing to him. The girls didn't do nothing wrong. Boys was using some language like boys a lot of times will when they shouldn't. As they was walking back, trying to sneak back in the house, walking down the street, guess who come walking up on them? Philip did. And so Jacqueline just took off bawling right away because she knew she was in trouble. All right. I was on the road. I was driving a truck over the road. My wife told me about it. And knowing her heart, just like God knows our hearts when we mess up, she had to come tell me what she had done. And I'm telling you what, I already knew what had happened. But she didn't know that. As far as I knew, she didn't know. She had to come tell me what she had done. And that's all we've got to do. We got Heavenly Father that's watching out for us no matter where we go, whatever we do, when we make a slip or we do something we feel guilty about, go to Him and tell Him what we need. He'll forgive us. I think all she done is had a week or two of, she was kept at the house. But I thank God for somebody like Philip to watch over when they get out where they shouldn't be. There was no harm come to him, but still her heart was to where she knew she'd done wrong and was repenting for it. And was sorry that she had done it. That's all we've got to do also is be repentant, be sorry for what we've done. Realize we've made a mistake and go to Him. Amen. And ask Him for that. Just like Peter, cry out in the time of our need. That's all we have to do. Let's go to John 11. We'll start in 20. Now in John, I'm going to jump around here a little bit. I think everybody knows the story of Lazarus. So I'm going to jump over. I'll be reading 20, 21, 32, 39, 40, 43, and 45 for you ladies that write it down. I know the Sister Teresa does too. This here is when Lazarus has already been, he's already passed. Jesus is coming to him finally after 4 days. Then Martha, as soon as she heard Jesus was coming, went and met him. But Mary sat in the house. Now, isn't this typical? Martha went to meet him. A lot of times here in church, people, they'll go to seek him. And the ones that go to seek him, they'll find him. In the next chapter here, Mary sat at the house, sat still. She waited till Jesus got to where she could see him. Maybe she was waiting for a miracle to see him, but if you're hanging on the back of that pew when altar call comes, let go of it. You've seen what he can do. You can ask a lot of people in here what he'll do for you. The things he'll do for you. Greg, your little boy, where he can speak now. I tell you what, that was encouraging to hear how she cried out so he could be healed and found somebody that could help him with the speech. That is amazing. 21. And then Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother had not died. How many times we sit around and we think, boy, if God would just step in right now when I want Him to, He can take care of this. There may be another reason why He's not. And we've got to have faith that He's going to take care of it. Amen. We have got to understand that He knows a lot more than we do. Amen. Let's go to 32. Then Mary was coming, come where Jesus was and saw him and fell down at his feet saying unto him, Lord, if thou hast been here, my brother was not dead. Here's both of them saying the same thing. And I know they believed in Christ. You can read the book, read the story. It'll tell you they believed in him. A lot of times we ain't going to understand what God's got in mind for us. We've got to have faith that he knows what's best for us. We have got to put our faith in that he knows best. A lot of times I get to work and I say, boys, what are they doing? They're going to mess everything up here. I don't know the big picture sometimes of why they're doing things. A lot of times that's what we start looking at it, tunnel vision, instead of trying to look at the big picture. Guess what? I don't have to worry about the big picture. I've got someone to take care of the big picture. If I'll keep my eye on that ball, on that prize of where I'm wanting to go to and everybody else is wanting to go to. Because nobody wants to go to the devil's hell. I can't believe anybody's going to choose that thinking, well, maybe I got one more day. Guess what? You may not have that one more day. We need to remember this. Let's go to 30. Everybody knows the story here. Jesus come and said, where have you laid him? Let's go to 39. Jesus said, take ye away the stone. Martha, the sister of him that was dead, said unto him, Lord, by this time he stinketh, for he hath been dead 4 days. And Jesus said unto her, said I not unto thee that if thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God? Sometimes we need to roll the stone away in our lives. We need to get out of the way, do as he asks us to. And I'll use myself as an example. I knew when Jesus, when I was being called to preach, I thought, boy, it's not me. Even Jacqueline said, when Garrett said, something's up with your dad, she said, not my dad. And I agreed with her, all right? I know, and I ain't trying to point you out to him. If he wants you to preach, and I know you're willing to do it if he asks you to, both of you, have faith in him to do what he says. If he wants you to move that stone away, what happens if, let's go on before I get ahead of myself. 43. And when he thus then spoke, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come forth. And he that was dead come forth, bound hand and foot with grave clothes, and his face was bound with a napkin. Jesus spoke unto them, loose him and let him go. And then many of the Jews, all these people that were standing around that didn't believe in what God was telling them, guess what? There's people in our lives that are watching to see what we do. They're watching to see if God will step in and help us when we're in our time of need. And when many of the Jews came unto Mary and had seen these things, seen the things that Jesus did for him, believed on him. You got to have belief. If we live our lives like this book will tell us to, they'll be able to see our lives, see the examples of what we're supposed to do. They'll see us mess up. They'll understand. If we explain to them, once we do, they'll say, and I think sometimes that's an example for us when they say, boy, that ain't much of a Christian to do that. If you explain to them, yeah, I was wrong, but I can go to my Heavenly Father and ask him to forgive me again. And I've got faith that he'll do that if I'm sincere with a contrite heart. I think there's a learning curve right there that we can show them, say, yeah, and guess what? You can do the same thing if you just ask for forgiveness. Some are looking for him and some stay in the pew. Just like Martha and Mary. Martha went to look for him. Mary sat and waited until he got there. How many times are some of them doing the same thing here? And then churches around, I don't mean just here, waiting for, I guess, a rug to be rolled out or what? I don't understand sometimes what they're waiting on. If God's calling you to the point, and now being up here, I've seen a couple of times when somebody grabs that, you know, back of that pew and squeezes so hard their knuckles are white, guess what? That ain't nothing I'm doing besides bring God's word to you. That's Jesus Christ calling you and telling you to make a move. And it ain't nothing but the devil telling you not to. That's all it is. Jesus is still doing this today. He's being the intercessor on our behalf. Jesus asked them to roll the stone away. If they had not done what he had asked and had the faith to do so, what would happen to Lazarus? That's a question. If they hadn't had the faith enough to do what Jesus asked them to do, would Lazarus have ever rose, come back from the dead? What do you think, Garrett? I don't think so either. I don't care if you don't want to, it ain't going to matter. But if you put your heart into it, if you do what Jesus asked you to do, to get up and testify to him, to sing, be a Sunday school teacher, work over in the building, do bulletins, do whatever he asked you to do, if we will roll that stone away and let him work, get that blockage out of our way, whatever we think he can handle, guess what? He can. Amen. If we just allow him to do it, instead of quit thinking that we can do it all on our own, I don't need help. I'll do this myself. Well, guess what? I'm getting older. There's a lot of things I can't do like I used to. I just can't. I think I can. My brain says I can. Guess what? I can't. I wish I could sometimes, but that's just part of it. What's the first step in getting the rolling the stone away? Having faith when he's calling you and asking you to do something, to do it. We got to believe, and if you weren't here, you can't tell me you wouldn't.